A California appeals court will hear arguments today about whether or not a criminal defendant should have the right to review and evaluate the source code of forensic DNA analysis software programs that are used to create evidence against them. Software companies view that information as trade secret, but opponents say some programs have been shown to have source code errors leading to wrongful convictions. For more, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Hannah Block-Wiebe, assistant professor of law at Drexel University. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
How big of a deal is this for software companies to open their kimono, if you will, on this issue and allow this source code to be seen?
It's a big deal for software companies who have often contracted with states on the understanding that this kind of material would be kept secret. But on the other hand, perhaps they should have known that by contracting with public entities, they would need to disclose more than they would otherwise.
Well, so do the contracts typically with these public entities contain any language regarding this very issue?
They do often include assertions of proprietary rights or trade secrecy. On the other hand, it's not clear that they should. So it's possible that by including that language, states and these entities might have actually violated open records laws or due process guarantees.
If there's so much secrecy that surrounds all of this, how do we know that the codes have been wrong in the past?
We know because there have been a couple of cases in which there has been disclosure. In 2017, in a New York case, a defendant sought and successfully received access to DNA source code that was used in the state of New York, and his expert examined the code and found some flaws. That code has since been retired. So the other way that we know that there have been some flaws is just by comparing the functions of the two programs at issue here. So the true allele code at issue in this case functions differently than a different software called StarMix. And if those two give different results on a sample, then it raises concerns that one or both might be functioning wrong.
And, of course, this leads to yet another layer of this whole thing, which is now you have a result from one of these DNA testing programs. It's going to be used by police or investigative agencies. At some point, a jury or a judge is going to have to weigh in on whether this is believable evidence or not believable evidence. It gets complicated pretty quickly.
It does. And one of the concerns here is that if defendants don't have the opportunity to examine the code and make their own case as to whether it's valid or not, then how can a jury or a judge really have all of the information that they need in order to make an informed decision?
In this particular case, the code used was used to evaluate complex mixtures of DNA samples from multiple people. Do we know, is that the only type of software affected, or have we seen some problems with other software that's just straight, simple, one DNA test?
DNA testing software, the straight, simple DNA testing software, has been, to my knowledge, fine. The complexity arises in these contexts of small mixed samples of DNA. But there are other kinds of forensic software not related to DNA that might be affected here. So one has to do with the forensic software that computer crime investigators use to trace computer crimes. And the same argument could apply there about that a defendant has the right to understand the code used to generate evidence used to convict him.
Well, and this could be even broader than that, couldn't it, Professor? We could be into whole areas that don't involve criminal law. For example, if my insurance company is using an algorithm to determine the rate I should pay, and I can't crack that algorithm, do I have a right as a civil plaintiff?
That's exactly right. It does have far-reaching implications. And while we haven't seen those cases arise in the private sector yet, we have seen some cases just like that in the context of Medicaid, where plaintiffs have been denied Medicaid benefits on the basis of a secret algorithm, and they've sought and successfully received access to that algorithm so that they can understand and challenge that determination.
Professor, thank you for your time this morning. We've been speaking with Hannah Block-Wiebe, an assistant professor of law at Drexel University.